Chapter 73. The Princess of Wales prepares to leave. An English diplomatist joins the attaches in the alcove. The princess and her ladies go out.
Diplomatist, I saw you over here, and I came round. Cursed hot and crowded, isn't it? Second attaché, what is the princess leaving so soon for?
Diplomatist, he has not been received in the royal box by the other members of the royal family, and it has offended her, though she was told beforehand that she could not be.
Poor devil. Nobody invited her here. She came unasked, and he has gone unserved.
First attaché, we shall have to go unserved likewise, I fancy. The scramble at the buffets is terrible.
Diplomatist, and the road from here to Marshgate is impassable. Some ladies have been sitting in their coaches for hours outside the hedge there. We shall not get home till noon tomorrow.
A voice from the back.
Take care of your watches. Pickpockets.
First attaché, good. That relieves the monotony a little.
Excitement in the throng. When it has subsided, the band strikes up a country dance, and stewards with white ribbons and laurel leaves are seen bustling about.
Second attaché, let us go, and look at the dancing. It is Owl's Vouse dancer. No, it is not. It is Mraiko, two ladies between two gentlemen.
They go from the alcove.
Spirit of the years, from this phantasmagoria, let us roam to the chief wheel and capstan of the show, distant afar. I pray you closely read what I reveal, wherein each feature bulks in measure with its value humanly.
The beholder finds himself, as it were, caught up on high, and while the Vauxhall scene still dimly twinkles below, he gazes southward towards Central Europe, the contorted and attenuated echerch of the continent appearing as in an earlier scene, but now obscure under the summer stars.
Three cities loom out large. Vienna there, Dresden, which holds Napoleon, over here, and Leipzig, whither we shall shortly wing, out yonderwards. Twixt Dresden and Vienna, what thing do you discern?
Spirit of the pities, something broad-faced, flat-folded, parchment-pale, and in its shape rectangular, but moving like a cloud the Dresden way.
Spirit of the years, yet gaze more closely on it.
Spirit of the pities, the object takes a letter's lineaments, though swollen to mainsail measure, magically, I gather from your words, and on its face are three vast seals, red signifying blood must I suppose?
It moves on Dresden town, and dwarfs the city as it passes by.
You say Napoleon's there?
Spirit of the years, the document, sized to its big importance, as I told, bears in it formal declaration, signed, of war by Francis with his late linked son, the Emperor of France. Now let us go to Leipzig city, and await the blow.
A chaotic gloom ensues, accompanied by a rushing like that of a mighty wind.
Act 3, Scene I, Leipzig. Napoleon's quarters in the Riudnitz suburb,
the sitting room of a private mansion. Evening. A large stove fire and candles burning. The October wind is heard without, and the leaded panes of the old windows shake mournfully.
Semi-chorus I of ironic spirits,
aerial music,
we come, and learn as time's disorder dear sands run that castlery's diplomacy has wild, waxed, won. The beacons flash the fevered news to eyes keen bent that Austria's formal words of war are shaped, sealed, sent.
Semi-chorus 2, so, Poland's three despoilers primed by bulls gross pay to stem Napoleon's might,
he waits the weird dark day, his proffered peace declined with scorn, in fell force then they front him, with yet 80,000 more masked men.
At the back of the room, Colingert, Duke of Vicenza, and Jowin, one of Napoleon's confidential secretaries, are unpacking and laying out the Emperor's maps and papers. In the foreground, Berthier, Murat, Lauriston, and several officers of Napoleon's suite are holding a desultory conversation while they await his entry. Their countenances are overcast.
Murat, at least, the scheme of marching on Berlin is now abandoned.
Lauriston, not without high words.
He yielded and gave order prompt for Leipzig, but coldness and reserve have marked his mood towards us ever since.
birth year, the March year too he has looked on as a retrogressive one, and that he ever holds is court in woe. The council it was doubtless full of risk, and heaped us with responsibilities. Yet was your missive, sire, that settled it to Murat, how sturdy was. O Leipzig, or Berlin. He kept repeating, as he drew and drew fantastic figures on the fool's cap sheet, the one spells ruin, t'other spells success, and which is which? Murat, stiffly, what better could I do? So far were the allies from sheering off as he supposed, that they had moved in march full fanfare hither. I was duty bound to let him know. Lauriston, assuming victory here, if he should let the advantage slip him by, as on the Dresden day, he wrecks us all. 'Twas damnable to ride back from the fight inside a coach, as though we had not won. Kalinkert, from the back, the emperor was ill. I have ground for knowing. Napoleon enters. Napoleon, buoyantly, comrades, the outlook promises us well. Murat, dryly, right glad are we you tongue such tidings, sire. To us the stars have visaged differently, to wit. We muster outside Leipzig here levies 190,000 strong. The enemy has mustered, outside U.S., 350,000 if not more. Napoleon, all that is needful is to conquer them. We are concentrated here. They lie a spread, which shrinks them to 200,000 power. Though that the urgency of victory is absolute, I admit. Murat, yea, otherwise the issue will be worse than Moscow, sire.
Marmont, Duke of Ragusa, Wellington's adversary in Spain,
is announced, and enters. Napoleon, ah, Marmont, bring you in particulars? Marmont, some sappers I have taken captive, sire, say the allies will be at stroke with us the morning next to tomorrow's. I am come, now, from the steeple top of Lebenthal, where I beheld the enemy's fires bespot the horizon round with raging eyes of flame. My vanward posts, too, have been driven in, and I need succors thrice 10,000, say. Napoleon, coldly, the enemy vexes not your vanward posts. You are mistaken. Now, however, go, cross Leipzig, and remain as the reserve. Well, gentlemen, my hope herein is this. The first day to annihilate Schwarzenberg, the second Blücher. So shall we slip the toils they are all matting to enmesh us in. Berthier, few are our infantry to fence with theirs. Napoleon, cheerfully, we'll range them in two lines instead of three, and so we shall look stronger by one third.
Berthier, incredulously, can they be thus deceived, sire?
Napoleon, can they? Yes. With all my practice I can err in numbers at least one quarter, why not they one third? Anyhow, 'tis worth trying at a pinch.
Augereau is suddenly announced.
Good. I've not seen him, yet since he arrived.
Enter Augereau. Here you are then at last, old Augereau. You have been looked for long. But you are no more. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.